Hey everyone, hope you're keeping well, and welcome to another episode of the TRX Procast. I'm Nathan Di Rosario, your host, on this journey where we explore stories of resilience, strength, and transformation. Today's episode is truly special as we delve into the world of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and its incredible impact on mental health with a distinguished guest. In Season 3, Episode 2, I had the privilege of sitting down with Sam Sheriff MBE, the founder of Reorg Charity. His journey from a military background to the creation of Reorg showcases the transformative power of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Today, we unravel the stories of triumph and recovery, emphasizing the deep connection between physical and mental well-being. Sam Sheriff shares his insights into his personal journey, the inception of Reorg, and how Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has become a beacon of hope for those facing physical injuries and PTSD. From global collaborations with big Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu legends to personal testimonials of individuals whose lives have been changed, this is the episode that is testament to strength found in adversity. So get ready for an inspiring conversation that goes beyond the mats, exploring the profound impact of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu on mental health. So without further ado, let's dive into Season 3, Episode 2 of the TRX Procast. Enjoy the episode.
Yeah, of course. Firstly, thanks for having me, Nathan. Really,
cheers,
really appreciate
mate.
It.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Looking forward to this. My name is Sam Sheriff. I was in the Royal Marines for 22 years, discovered jiu-jitsu whilst I was in, and then retired to run Reorg full-time. I'm a husband, I'm a dad. And yeah, I'm here to talk to you more about jiu-jitsu and Reorg.
Appreciate your time. I know we've been speaking off recording just, but it's, I know you're very, very busy. I do appreciate you taking time to chat with us today. To start with, could you share a little bit of your background within the military and how that journey kind of ultimately led to your discovery of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah, of course. So I joined the Royal Marines at 19. And there's a long version and a short version of this, but I'll give you the short version today.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
The era that I grew up in, it was all action movies, Rocky, Van Damme, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was forever sort of running around the garden, pretending to be a Royal Marine, pretending to be a ninja or Rocky or whatever. So that's all I wanted to do from a very, very young age. And I used to get the combat survival magazines. And in the center page of that was two Royal Marines doing unarmed combat. In my mind, I was like, when I become a Royal Marine, if I become a Royal Marine,
yeah,
I'm going to learn all this. Very fortunate to sort of go through training and pass out. I was one of 12 out of the 60 that passed. And then I was a little bit disillusioned initially because we didn't do as much kind of martial arts as I thought we would do.
Okay.
But then as I progressed through my career, I became a physical training instructor. And part of that course, you got taught the Royal Marine close combat syllabus. We could then teach sort of Royal Marine recruits and Royal Marines unarmed combat.
Yeah.
And during that course, I discovered Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mainly because the guy who was teaching us had just discovered MMA.
Right.
This was back in 2004, and basically he used us as grappling dummies for the period of this course and just sort of threw us around and twisted us up. And I think for anyone who's done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there's a fight or flight moment. It's either, this is horrible, I'm never doing this again. Or
yeah,
it's, this is amazing, I need more of this. And I was very much of that mindset. And I just kind of, with the little knowledge I had, I ran with that. And anywhere I was, commando units, as a Royal Marine PTI, even if we're on the ranges doing marksmanship shooting, there's a lot of waiting around. I'd get the lads on the ground practicing the drills and skills that I knew. And even when we went away, any downtime we had, I'd get the lads training, and I just fell in love with it, really. And I could see the direct correlation between what we do as Royal Marines operationally and the benefit of the lads needing to grapple. That's really where I discovered it, and that's where I fell in love with it. And then the following years was me trying to get it recognized as a sport within the Royal Marines.
Okay.
Because the education was very poor, especially with the officers. They just saw Brazilian jiu-jitsu as cage fighting, which couldn't be further from the truth. And they just didn't quite get it. So I was banging down doors, quite literally just getting people to listen that we needed this. And then eventually the deputy commandant general got it in, allowed us to do it as a trial sport. We had a year to prove its worth. And within that year, it grew to the most popular sport in the Royal Marines. More Royal Marines doing jiu-jitsu than any other sport around all the commando units. That was it, really. It became a recognised sport, and the rest is history.
Going back slightly, when you was a kid, did you always want to be, like you mentioned, like the Royal Marines as a kid? Is that something you always wanted to do? You knew from a very young age that that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of kids, they want to be astronauts, rock stars, ballerinas. For me, it was a Royal Marine, and that was sort of the inspiration and motivation for that came from my dad and my uncle, both military men. My dad was a diver in the Navy. My uncle was a Royal Marine, PTI. The stories that they used to tell me, it just infused me with adventure, excitement. I've got pictures of me at 6 years old in Royal Marine uniform. Crawling around the garden and that. It was a dream, to be honest, because I think at that age, you look up to these inspirational people, and it feels unattainable, doesn't it? Royal Marines, to me, it was wow. But then as you eventually get there, you don't feel like that. You don't feel like that person that you thought you were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah.
I know exactly how that feels. I never served in the military, but I understand what you're saying in terms of you feel like just completely different to the person that you were when you were trying to achieve whatever you were achieving. Yeah, I'm sure that resonates with quite a lot of people. And then in terms of, you mentioned you got selected as a group of 12, right? A dozen people out of 60. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're not selected. So the way Royal Marine training works is you go and do a potential Royal Marine course, and 60 of you go down to do that.
Right.
Of that, generally, on average, about 15 will be successful, 15 to 20. And then out of that, you make up a troop who actually start Royal Marine training, 8 months of training at a commando training center. And out of those 60 that started, there was 12 of us who passed. Okay. The other guys, great guys, but for whatever reason, they might have got injured. They might have failed a test and got back trooped. There's many reasons why people don't make it, but predominantly it's injury or failing a professional assessment. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Understand, mate. Was there a pivotal moment or experience that sparked your interest in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? You mentioned you had a go of it became fight or flight, and you was the latter. You wanted more of it. Mm. But was there something that resonated with you personally or even emotionally that you saw this as a benefit to the military, not only in terms of a sport, but also for mental health as well?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that probably came a little bit later on as I probably matured and just had experienced more life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's where the reorg think it. I think me falling in love with jiu-jitsu, it was really kind of seeing the physical benefits and I suppose unconsciously the way I felt when I was on the mats. I probably didn't realize it back then as a young lad, but I always felt great afterwards. Felt great whilst I was doing it. I felt even better afterwards. Yeah. And there's obviously all the science behind the reasons for that, but I think one of the main things is you can't train jiu-jitsu on your own. You've got to have at least one training partner. It's a definite group training environment. And there's always people there that are more experienced who can give you that information. And I think when you get into something, and you'll know this from being in the fitness industry, when you see a technique or something which really works and it's, I know this is making a difference, you just want more of it, don't you? And
absolutely.
You just need to feed more of that information. I think that's what jiu-jitsu is. It's a never-ending journey and never the finished article in jiu-jitsu. And I think the same can be said for fitness. The great thing with jiu-jitsu is it's this universal language. I've been very fortunate during my career to travel around the world. And wherever I trained, wherever I traveled, I would train jiu-jitsu with somebody. And I think it's to the untrained eye, jiu-jitsu can seem this kind of fight club, secret fight club. A lot of tough guys and tough girls like training, but actually it's the complete opposite. You step into that jiu-jitsu academy and it's the most welcoming environment you're probably ever going to go into. Friendly. And the minute you step in there, they make you part of their team. And then before you, I feel like I've been here months.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, again, I've not done jiu-jitsu yet. I need to take you up on your offer eventually. But coming to your events for the last couple of years, you just see that friendship and camaraderie between everyone. We were welcomed in, and we were some of the new kids on the blocks, I suppose.
Yeah.
The TRX being at your event for the first time. Mm. Everyone was friendly, open, talking to us. We were talking to them, and the competitors were all respectful of each other, got on well with each other. I think that's testament to you and your ethos, but also, I suppose, the world of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well in how that is anyway, no matter where you go, which I think is a key reason, because I suppose people from the outside will look at it and think, well, I don't want to get hurt. It looks a bit rough and tough.
Yeah.
Where actually it's a lot. Is it more focused on the defense side, really, more than the attack?
So much that I think, for those that don't know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's known as the gentle art. And the reason for that is because it's developed that a smaller, weaker person can defeat a bigger, stronger aggressor, but through superior knowledge and technique. For that reason, you need to have a clear mind, and you only get a clear mind by practice and confidence in your abilities. The more you train, the better you get, the more knowledge you get. And then all of a sudden, this kind of the way you went into it initially, full of aggression, full of strength, because that's human nature taking over. That's then replaced with knowledge, confidence, ability. Then all of a sudden, you just sort of, you're going on your technique. And a lot of the technique, it's about using framing, not using your muscle and your strength. It's using framing, it's using their weight against themselves and things like that. And you know, some of the best people you see rolling, it just seems to flow. It doesn't even look there's any effort going on there. I think that's probably the best way to explain what it is like.
That's great. And then from a mental perspective of the sport, you've mentioned you have to focus the mind, and it is all about, you don't just rush in and do that. Do you think that's one of the pivotal reasons why a lot of people do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, for the sport and the contact, but also for the mental health side as well?
Yeah, I think there's many, many different reasons why people will do it. Some people are hobbyists and they just do it as a hobby, not interested in competing. They just enjoy kind of the social aspect of it. Other people, full-on competitors, they live for competing. They live for the next competition and winning that gold medal. Other people do it to supplement another sport. So it might be an mixed martial artist. They do grappling as a piece of that kind of mixed martial artist pie. A big part of that is grappling. Some people will do it for defense. Some people have got their own personal stories and they might have faced some kind of abuse, and that's kind of led them down almost the self-defense path. Yeah. Other people do it for professional reasons, like police officers, military, that kind of stuff. I think everyone's got their own story, but I think what they'll probably all attest to is that psychologically, when you're training jiu-jitsu, when you're rolling with another person, so rolling's another term for sparring.
Right.
You enter a meditative state because you have to. You can't be, when you're rolling with another person. And the reality is that a jiu-jitsu match finishes with a submission. So that's a choke or a lock. And if you don't tap, you're going to go to sleep. Or if you don't tap, that joint's going to get destroyed. And I think that's the reality, but we kind of forget about that because we have so much fun when we're doing it. We forget about actually that's at the other end of it. But yeah, so the reason for that is you can't be thinking about relationship problems or career problems or debt or some trauma that you went through. Do you know what I mean? Because you're kind of in this zone. And then what happens is 2 hours has gone. You've been on the mat for 2 hours and you came in here at 6. It's now 8 o'clock. Where's that time gone? I think there is a big thing about losing yourself on the mat, and that can become very addictive. A lot of people will agree that they start jiu-jitsu and just get addicted to it. They want more, more, more. And all the byproducts from that is that kind of that robustness. You're getting physically fitter. You are getting stronger. Jiu-jitsu strength. Your cardio is getting better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big things with jiu-jitsu. And we're sort of going down a bit of a rabbit hole here. And I don't want to get onto the kind of excuses thing, because that could be a podcast in itself. But essentially, a lot of people will put excuses in the way for not starting jiu-jitsu because it's new. It's the unknown. And I've had Royal Marines come along and I've not seen them. And like, oh, I'm getting stronger and fitter. I'll come back and I'll be better at jiu-jitsu. No, you won't. You'll be stronger and fitter, but yeah, you won't be better at jiu-jitsu, because in order to get better at jiu-jitsu, you've got to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, no, totally. And again, one of our colleagues, Miguel Vargas, who's back in the States with Jack.
Yeah.
A lot of our black and yellow community now, the black and yellow community are our educators, our course instructors. Yep. They've started to take up jiu-jitsu.
Oh, brilliant. Bit.
And Miguel, I'm not sure if you've ever met him. I don't think you have, but he won't mind me saying this, but it is a tree. He's massive. He's built a brick house. And he went to jiu-jitsu for the first time. And I said to him how he went, and he's just like, I got owned. That's all he said to me. He was like, I can't believe the strength of these people. And it just made me feel like weak as hell, even though he lifts heavy. He's a big guy generally anyway.
Yeah.
That shows, again, the testament to what you're saying, that, yeah, it's a different type of strength that you'll learn. You can't just go away in the gym and then turn up and think that you're automatically going to be good at jiu-jitsu. It's a skill at the end of the day, but a different type of strength as well, right?
Yeah, there's this thing, and it's within jiu-jitsu, everyone will have heard it or everyone will have said it. And it's all about this kind of, you've got to get your ego in check. You've got to leave your ego at the door, because it will take a battery. Do you know what I mean? If you've got an ego and you go on the map, it's not going to last very long, because you get these guys and these girls who are much smaller than you, much lighter than you, much weaker than you, but they will just turn you inside out.
Yeah.
With a smile on their face as well. This is the best bit. They're laughing as they're doing it. And I'll never ever forget this. And I've told lots of people this story. We used to have our head instructor would come to teach us at 40 Commando in Taunton. Yeah. And he would bring his lad with him. And I think at that time he was probably about 14 years old, something like that. And he would come in his school uniform, shirt and tie, school jumper. And he'd go and get changed. He'd put his gi on, put his belt on, and he'd come in, and he'd be mega happy and smiley and get on the mat. And he'd, yeah, you ready to go, tap hands? And he'd be rolling with fully grown men, Royal Marine Commandos, 8, 9, 10 years under the belt, been to war, the full works.
Yeah.
And this 14-year-old lad was just turning him inside out, upside down, choking him out, arm bars, but doing it laughing and joking. And that is the essence of jiu-jitsu for me. And the lads were just like, how is he doing this?
Yeah.
And it's magical.
Amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a brilliant story. Thanks for sharing that, mate. In terms of Reorg then, Reorg Charity, how did the idea come about, and how long did it take for Reorg to, I suppose, be not necessarily the company today, but to say, right, okay, we've now got this charity. Let's go and do some good stuff. Can you just give us a little bit of background, a bit of story on that?
Yeah, of course. I think it sort of followed on organically from what I said at the beginning. What I said at the beginning about how we got jiu-jitsu as a sport within the Royal Marines. What we started to see was Royal Marines like really enjoying jiu-jitsu. And then we would invite veterans onto camp to train jiu-jitsu with us. And I think anyone who's listening to this who is a veteran, they'll all agree to this, that actually when you, don't matter how long you've done, whether you've done 2 years, 6 years, 22 years, when you leave that brotherhood, that sisterhood behind, that military family, it leaves a void. It really does, because it's what you've known all those years. You've known that you've lived together, slept together, fought together, and you've had routine. And all of a sudden, that's gone. You've handed in your military kit, handed in your ID card, you walk out of that gate, and you are now Mr. or Mrs. whoever.
Yeah.
And it's a really empty, lonely feeling, actually, even if you've got a supportive family or not. It leaves a void. We wanted to fill that void with jiu-jitsu because we knew how much we enjoyed it, and we could see how veterans were enjoying it, and it was really sort of making a difference. And just sort of came in line with me meeting a guy called Alan Shibaro, who was over in America. And he and Joey had formed We Defy Foundation and he came over to the UK and we hosted him, the Commando Train Center and what have you. And we're just really connected, military men, both doing jiu-jitsu. And he loved what I'd done with Royal Marine Jiu-Jitsu. And he offered me the opportunity to do We Defy UK, which I was blown away by because that was his baby. For him to sort of entrust me with that was a huge thing. But I felt it was important that we almost had our own identities, even though the US and the UK are allies and we're always side by side. We've still got our own identity in terms of Royal Marines, Paras, Green Berets, Rangers. Do you know what I mean? You've got your own heritage and history, haven't you? I felt it was important that we had that. And he completely got that. And he said, what I would say is spend some time, get the name right, get the logo right, and everything else will fall into place. Kind of set to work, got my crayons out and my notepad, and I had a few different ideas. I knew that I wanted it to be from bad to good, dark to light, and I was thinking of all these different jiu-jitsu terminologies, switch or reversal. We're trying to appeal to the military community who have not done jiu-jitsu yet. But then I thought of some military sort of terms, and one of those terms that I came up with is reorg. And for any of the listeners who are from a military background, they'll know exactly what this means. But for those that aren't, essentially, when you're in a section or a team and you are clearing an objective, you've cleared the objective, you shout the word reorg, and everyone in your team or your section echoes the word reorg. You all shout it together. Then you come together in all-round defense, you check each other off, and no matter what's just happened, good or bad, you move forward with a positive mindset. And I thought, well, that's it. That's exactly what we're doing, but we're using jiu-jitsu as a vehicle to do that.
Perfect.
Because of our commando heritage, I just put the commando dagger in between the word reorg, commando dagger, org. And we operated under the umbrella of the Royal Marine Charity. And this was back in 2017.
Okay.
And it was great. We got incredible support from the jiu-jitsu community, jiu-jitsu brands. It went from one t-shirt, me just talking about it, to Tatami Fightwear, which is biggest jiu-jitsu brand in the world, sort of selling our kit and our merch. But not just to create funds for what we were doing, but it gave a uniform to those who no longer had a uniform. Do you know what I mean? Someone would buy a reorg hoodie or a reorg t-shirt or reorg gi, and they felt part of something again. And it's not just those that have served, but their family members. They're now wearing it, feeling like they're supporting the mission, what we're doing. So yeah, it just gathered incredible momentum. And I think the reason for that is because the majority of these people have been helped themselves by jiu-jitsu. Or know someone who had been helped by jiu-jitsu. Or they just got it. They could just see what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go. Then we realized that it's not just Royal Marines that need this, but the wider military. And that's when we realized we needed to step away from the Royal Marine Charity, from their supportive umbrella, that we could help the rest of the military community. In November 2020, we formed as an official charity. And then that was it then. All guns blazing. We opened it up to the emergency services as well as the police, fire, paramedics. Yeah. And now it's 2024. How did that happen?
I know. Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. It's gone really, really quick. That's a brilliant story. Thank you, Sam. In terms of the charity itself, did you have any challenges or have you faced any challenges over the last few years in terms of getting reorg up and running or actually getting people involved? Is there any kind of learnings that you've taken from these challenges as well?
I think there's always going to be challenges. Life is a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think especially when you want to be as efficient as you can, as effective as you can, there's always going to be little bumps and challenges with, I mean, even tech, you'll get this and you'll understand this. Tech and trying to make it smoother and getting the message out there and things like that. I think, I don't think we've had any major challenges as in people getting in our way to stop what we're doing or challenges in terms of reaching people to get them involved. It's almost a reverse of that, I would say. I suppose that is a challenge. We almost became a victim of our own success,
right?
Where there was lots of people wanting to get on the mat and train, and it was almost having the resources to be able to deal with that demand, I suppose.
Okay. And how do people get involved with Reorg, either to be part of the community or attend the BJJ Open, which we've been a part of the last few years? What does someone need to do if they've seen Reorg on social media and then want to be involved in whatever way?
Yes, I suppose that was one of the challenges which we've managed to help with, and that's making it easier for people to get involved. It's onto the website, Reorg Charity, and there's an application form there. If you're a gym that would like to get involved, as in your jiu-jitsu academy or your CrossFit box would like to support Reorg as one of our programs that we offer, there's a link there where they can sign up and be a part of the program. And then for the actual athlete themselves, someone who wants to start jiu-jitsu, wants to start that Reorg program, there's a link there too. They hit that, and then there's a process that, which they follow to become part of the Reorg program.
Okay, great. And we'll make sure we'll put that in the show notes, a lot of the link to the websites and all your social media. If people that are listening that want to show an interest, or they're even doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the moment, or part of the military, or have left the military, then feel free to look at the show notes, and we'll make sure we support all you guys that are interested in following Sam and Reorg a bit more and following that more about them.
I suppose the main focus that we've worked on recently, and we've had a change in programs, is in the beginning it was just a case of, right, you're part of our community, let's get you on the mat, let's get you training. But what we realized was that with the funds we've got coming in, there's only so much we can do with those funds. Who do we really want to target? Who do we really want to help? And I think one of the things that we realized was that a big thing we try to do here is community, get people into a new community and assist and support as part of that. So the way it works now is that we're trying to target those men and those women who've not discovered jiu-jitsu yet or not discovered CrossFit yet.
Right.
And then they will apply, and they'll go on to what we call Reorg 60 once they've been through our application process. There's an application process.
Yeah.
And then there's a call with the Reorg team. We chat. And then once they've gone past that stage, we then hook them up with the most convenient jiu-jitsu academy or CrossFit box to where they live.
Okay.
And then they'll start a 60-day program. So that's 60 calendar days. Every time they go to the jiu-jitsu academy or the CrossFit box, they'll hit a QR code, which goes back to our dashboard, tells us that they've trained, and there's some basic questions about how they're feeling pre and post training. What we should hopefully always see is that they're always feeling better after they've trained than maybe what they did beforehand. We're seeing that they're training, but we're seeing it's making a difference. And also through that process, we're seeing if they need other support.
Okay.
Whether they need help with mental health, relationship problems, career transition, debt management, all that kind of stuff. Because we work with other great charities and other great organizations, and we can signpost them to that. There's also a reward scheme during that 60 days. The more they train, the more rewards they unlock.
Right,
and
okay.
They'll get that pack at the end of the 60-day program. And if they've sort of hit all the targets and achieved everything, then they'll be eligible to start Reorg 365.
Okay.
And that is then a year's membership at that same Jiu-Jitsu Academy or CrossFit box, again, funded by the charity. And same again through that, whilst they're training, we're seeing if they need support in other areas. And the idea being is that when they come out of that program at the end of the year and 60 days, they should be self-sufficient. Because we've sort of signposted to other areas. They're well integrated into that jiu-jitsu community or that CrossFit community. They've got a new support structure around them. At that point then, they would progress out of the Reorg program, and they'd move into what we call tier three, which is then where they can essentially be the eyes and the ears for that academy or that CrossFit box, looking out for other men and women who
Brilliant.
Are right at the beginning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're now self-sufficient and they've got jiu-jitsu or they've got CrossFit, but they're looking out for others that they can help and get onto the programs that they've just done.
I think that's brilliant, Sam, because I think in two ways. One, it's helping the charity because you've got more boots on the ground. But secondly, the people that are in that final tier are still part of reorg. It's not like now you've done your programs, come back to us if you need us. It's no, you're still part of the family. We still want to embrace you and support you. And now you're helping bring others in, which I think it's just brilliant. It's that ongoing support. And I love the fact that you actually look at different areas of mental health as well, and not just what jiu-jitsu can do to support that, but also where your lane is. You work with other charities to really support people in all areas, which is great. Is that something that was important to you at the start of the reorg journey, to make sure that we're not just ticking off one box, we're trying to support as many people as possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And you can only do that as a team. And I think the more we can work together with other great organizations, other charities, the more the better and stronger we get as a team. And ultimately, the more people we can help.
Can you discuss some of the significance of collaborations? You've mentioned some of the charities that you're currently working with, but I noticed you've got an apparel range with Through Dark, which we will get on the podcast in the next couple of weeks. Can you talk about those and how important it is to reorg to help raise awareness, but also the companies that you've selected to work with? Why have you picked those particular companies?
Yeah, of course. I think one of the things that was really important right at the beginning of reorg was that we're about inclusivity, not exclusivity. And because I think especially with brands, and rightly some can get protective, and we want exclusivity, just work with us. And we can't do that in the space that we're in for a number of reasons. And I can talk about it from a jiu-jitsu perspective. Let's pick a gym, right? And let's say that particular gym is a franchise, and they say to us, yeah, we can offer you this, but you can only have reorg in our gyms. I'd never do that, because if you live in Scarborough, let's say, and there's not that particular jiu-jitsu academy in Scarborough, you're not going to be a part of the program. But it was really important very early on that we were the connective tissue between all the jiu-jitsu academies. And we would like to bring all jiu-jitsu academies on board. Of course, we need to vet them, and we need to make sure that they're a reputable jiu-jitsu academy and the right kind of gym and the right kind of instructors for us to be sending our athletes to.
Right.
First thing. But I think the brands follow the same kind of model in some way, because if you look all around the world, you're going to have brands that are big in one place, but maybe not so big in another. Or you might have people who will buy that brand because of where they are, or it's just that's cool over there, but it's not cool over there. You know what I mean? It was very important to us that we worked with lots of different brands, because we're all different, aren't we? You know, some people are white gi, some people are black gi, some people this weave, some people that weave. And the same could be said for the fitness gear, can't it? T-shirts and joggers and trainers and all that kind of stuff. It was really important that we worked with different brands, but brands that follow the same ethos and as us, do you know what I mean? And I think when you look at the brands that we worked with, you can agree with that. There's either someone in that team, or there's someone who is a founder of that particular brand who's either military themselves, or they're a military supporter or a military enthusiast, and they just kind of get it.
Absolutely. And I think, looking from the outside, especially across social media and the events that we've been fortunate enough to support you with, there's no brand that I can see that just kind of sticks out and think, well, why are you guys doing here? They all kind of make sense from their brand perspective, from their mission and values, and from the personnel as well. So I think that's really, really important. Have you had, you don't need to say specifically, but have you had any kind of out there brands that have kind of approached you to try and support you? And
you know
it just makes no sense at all. It's more for them, more than for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. And I won't mention names, but what you get a lot of is up and coming brands who come with these so-called good intentions to help the charity, but what they're actually trying to do is use the name of Reorg to then to almost elevate themselves.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is a bit disappointing, but I do get it. I understand why they're doing it. But ultimately, we're here to help people. And some of the brands that we've worked with, they're a world-renowned brand. And they're coming and they're saying, right, we're going to give you 100% profit of this collaboration that we're doing. And we're going to get global eyes on that. So it's a win-win for us because yeah. we're getting the financial support, which is essential. We could not do what we do without the financial support.
Absolutely.
But that is, we've got to have that. But then we're getting the awareness piece. We're getting eyes on the brand, on the charity, by people going out and wearing this kit.
Yeah.
And I think when it's a brand which is really well established and people respect it, they then want to wear it. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that's, I think that's the only thing really, which is a bit of a shame at times, but I kind of get it and understand it too.
Yeah, no, I fully respect brands that have their own way of doing things and there's no harm in that at all. But let's say I think you've got the right brands. And then we met, or say TRX and Reorg met at fitness industry events, not specifically like Brazilian jiu-jitsu events.
Yeah.
Was that something that was just part of your plan anyway, to get involved with the fitness industry? Or did that naturally just come about through opportunities since Reorg has kind of come about?
It's really funny because when we first sort of started like Reorg, we had a three-tier approach to it almost, a bit like pyramid for strength. And we had jiu-jitsu, and we had fitness, and we had boxing. We had the three. But for whatever reason, jiu-jitsu sort of flourished. But the other two, they just didn't seem to have the same kind of momentum that what we were gaining with jiu-jitsu. We had to sort of pull things back in and focus on jiu-jitsu. But then once we got some success with that, that allowed us to reorg.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, let's revisit this fitness space, because there's lots of men and women in our community who would benefit from what we're offering, but they don't want to get on the mat and train jiu-jitsu, and that's absolutely fine. But what we can do is we can get them in a CrossFit box training as part of a group. I suppose that's where the fitness side of things came in. So we're sort of offering chicken or fish now.
Yeah.
As jiu-jitsu or CrossFit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And then in terms of let's talk about the fitness side briefly about Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You're naturally going to get fitter, stronger and stuff like that. But do you kind of support people in terms of, I suppose, being fit ready for Brazilian jiu-jitsu? And then also kind of a side question, you've done a lot of challenges over the years between yourself and Mark in particular. Is that, again, something that you were looking to do, not necessarily stepping away from Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but just showing lots of challenges to help raise awareness for Reorg as well?
Yeah, I think the first question, we can't do is give someone a Brazilian jiu-jitsu membership and a fitness membership. We can't do two. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
But as I said sort of earlier, you will get fitter as a result of doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
However, I would always recommend supplementing that with your own fitness, running, body weight training, weights, swimming. I'd always recommend having a good, balanced training program. I really would. And then the question about the challenges. Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole reason for doing that was to raise awareness and funds for the charity. But I think because myself and Mark were both Royal Marines, and fizz is just part of what Royal Marines do on a daily basis, breathing. for a Royal Marine, it's eat, fizz, sleep, fizz. It's just what we do.
It's a benefit for you guys as well. It's like we want to challenge ourselves all the time, and we want to come up with these challenges to
it's
even
hard,
help
though,
what
it?
You're doing. Well, it is. I mean, the one that you sent to me with when we sent you a TRX, I think it was the rope climb.
Yeah.
I was just like, even forget about the training for it, but even mentally, just getting ready for that just takes next level stuff. And I bowed my hat to you when I saw you, and thanks again for getting us involved. But Is that something that you can just pick up and do, those kind of challenges, or is it something that, yeah, I want to challenge myself physically and mentally now? What can I do?
It's a funny one, isn't it? And what I was, when I said that it's hard, what I was trying to say was that trying to find a challenge that has not been done is hard. Do you know? There's so many amazing people out there doing incredible challenges to raise money for amazing organizations that it's hard to try and find something that no one's done, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
And to try and find something that is, because times are hard and every penny counts, and to try and do something that makes someone think, wow, I'm going to give a couple of quid towards that because that is awful. But yeah, Mark did his challenges, which are just phenomenal. You know?
Phenomenal.
And I wanted to come up with a challenge that I didn't know if I could do. Do you know what I mean? And I'd done a challenge previously at 4-5 Commando on a rope, and I did 100 rope climbs, and that was horrible. But this time, I thought I really want to push it and really want to go for this.
Yeah.
I initially thought of doing 10 climbs on the hour, every hour for 24 hours, but I kind of knew I could do that.
Yeah.
I thought I'll double it and I'll try and do 20 climbs on the hour, every hour for 24 hours. And it's on an outdoor rope as well, so I didn't know what the elements were going to be like.
Yeah.
Leading up to it, training, I was climbing in the rain, I was climbing in snow. I'd get up in the middle of the night and go and climb just because I knew I was going to be climbing round the clock 24 hours. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? When that day comes, and it's in the Marines, we call it H hour. It's right, H hour, let's go. And
yeah.
I just wanted to get started. That wait beforehand, it's horrible, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, I think that's the worst thing. Actually, any events that I've done in the past, it's actually the lead up to it is fine. I think because you're either practicing or you're training for it, and that kind of keeps you in the game, so to speak. But then come the day, you're not actually getting up and training, you're actually doing the events. It's kind of like you're waiting around just for it to begin, right?
Yeah, exactly. But in the Marines, part of, especially PTIs, we climb ropes. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And all Royal Marines, if they've passed out of Limston, they will have climbed ropes on the bottom field with kit on. And history behind that is so that when you're in a jungle, they can drop the rope down. You can climb up and get yourself out of that canopy where the helicopter's above.
Yeah,
that's the history. And we do a lot of like vertical cliff assaults and stuff like that. So your upper body needs to be in good order. That's where the history comes from. But even though I'd climbed for years on a rope, I still didn't know if I could achieve it. And for sending that TRX.
Oh,
that,
pleasure.
That really did. Yeah, to be fair, I've used TRX pretty much the majority of my military career. It's always in my kit bag, and I believe in it. I really do. To have you guys involved as part of that challenge was great.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. And as you know, our CEO is a massive fan of jiu-jitsu, and our chairman and founder, Randy Hetrick, is a former Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
It makes sense, as we talked about with companies that you're collaborating. It makes sense from our mission and values, but also I feel from a personal point of view as well. I think the work that you and your team are doing is excellent. So we want to be part of that, even in a little way or a big way. So yeah, supporting your challenges and coming to your events, I think is just our honor. Really, it's our honor and pleasure to be part of the Reorg family.
Oh, thank you, mate. I think one of the big things when I did that challenge, just seeing the way the community came together, the way the brands came together to support me, but also the live feeds that Mark was pushing out, and because it was through the night, people had been setting their alarm to tune in and just kind of, oh, he's still going,
yeah,
and just kind of give me a bit of, and it lifted me. It did lift me. Kind of people kind of giving their well wishes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it was disgusting. 2, 3, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. And because it was really clear, so it was freezing cold.
Okay.
So I had a fire going. I'd keep warm around the fire.
Yeah.
But then you'd still just seize up because it was so cold. And getting back on that rope, the first 5 climbs, I was a tin man from The Wizard of Oz. Just needed some oil on my joints and that. But,
so what was the toughest part for you then? Was it kind of the ongoing time, how long it was actually taking? Was it the strength? Was there any particular thing where it was like, I'm struggling here a little bit?
I think it was just the fatigue and just the energy consumption. Even though I was consuming a ton of calories, it just still wasn't enough. And there was specific walls that I hit. And the first one was at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it just came out of nowhere. Just boom, I just hit this wall.
Right.
I just smashed a load of saurine and honey and banana. And it happened instinctively. I didn't even think to do it. I just did it.
Yeah.
It's almost like my body was just really needing it. And I got through that phase, and then we kind of battled on. And then at 6 o'clock, again, I hit another one. And I said to my wife, you just need to go and get me a McDonald's drive-through.
Yeah.
Which, to all the athletes listening to this, like, oh, God, how can you
do
that?
Oh, I'm sure we've all been there. We probably haven't clawed ropes for 24 hours, but I'm sure most of us have been like, yeah, let's get a drive-through McDonald's because we can't. We need it.
Do you know what it was, though? It's just my body was just craving calories, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I smashed this McDonald's down, and it's almost like in a video game when you just kind of you kind of recharging your levels.
Yeah,
and then yeah, the sun came up there, and I thought, yeah, we're almost there now, you know.
Oh, brilliant, but, mate! Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, again, take my hat off to it. It's something I don't think I could do, but yeah, a lot of hats off to you. Really, really good.
Shit, mate.
So reflecting on your journey of reorg, we've talked about challenges.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of what's been your most rewarding moment or achievements that you've experienced in terms of building and growing reorg charity?
I think without doubt, the most rewarding thing is hearing from the men, the women who have taken part in a reorg program.
Yeah.
Or even more powerful than that, their families. When their families send us a message or get in touch to say it's changed their life. Because I think we often forget that, don't we? When someone's struggling, we forget about their support structure around them, their immediate family, their friends, their loved ones, and how it almost has that butterfly effect out from those people.
Yeah.
When a dad or a mum is really, really struggling psychologically, the way that the family has to tiptoe around them, walking on eggshells, are they in a good mood? Are they in a bad mood? And for a kid to say, I've got my dad back, it's just, you just can't even quantify that. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, without question. All the other stuff is great, but that is why we do what we do. That's why we're here. And yeah, I wish we didn't exist. Do you know what I mean? I wish that no one had any need to be doing this. But the reality is that they do. And jiu-jitsu fitness is changing and in some cases saving lives.
No, that's brilliant. No, again, really well done to you, Sam, in particular, but the rest of your team at reorg, because I've been fortunate now to be from the outside being a part of reorg for the last 2 years now, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just, the more I see of you guys, the more I feel inspired and just motivated and just really grateful that you guys are around.
Unfortunately, there's many, many stories. And if any of your listeners are interested, if they go onto our kind of Instagram, the Reorg charity one, we've got stories where athletes have come forward and shared their own personal journey. If anyone's interested, they can go and take a listen to that. But I think one in particular, which was actually very early on in the Reorg journey, and I was walking through town with my boys, and I just saw this lad sat on a low wall, head in his hands, and I noticed him because he was sat somewhere quite unique.
Yeah.
But then I noticed the Global Moral tattoo on his arm, which is the Royal Marine Cap badge. And I just stopped in my tracks. I was, mate, you a bootneck? And he's the minute I said, mate, are you a bootneck? His whole presence changed.
Okay.
And he got up, almost stood to attention. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And he got from sitting with his head in his hands to all of a sudden he stood up, kind of put his chest out almost. And I was, mate, I'm a Royal Marine. I was, what's the story? I've not seen you here before. And he told me his story. He was up north, been through a tough time. He'd moved down into the same town where I was.
Yeah.
And he just opened up to me, probably because I was a Royal Marine, and just said he'd been struggling. And I was, mate, have you ever thought of trying martial arts? And again, it almost injected him again. He was, do you know what? Yeah, I have. I'm a big MMA fan. And I would love to start martial arts. And I said, right, give me your details. Just give me a bit of time. And within half an hour, I'd organised for him to do a trial session at a local gym, a trial jiu-jitsu session. And I sent him all the details, and then I checked in on him. And a lot of these things, there was an excuse as to why he didn't go. Do you know what I mean? And the reality is, it was nerves. It was nerves. It was a bit of anxiety. I went with him. I went with him, introduced him to the gym. He had his first session. And that was it then. It broke the seal. And he was then in regular training. We sorted out his membership and everything. And weeks had passed. And he went and he entered his first jiu-jitsu competition. And there's this awesome photo of him getting his hand raised after he'd won this match.
Yeah.
And he said to me that the reason he was looking so happy when his arm was raised is not because he'd won. It was because he knew he was going to be okay.
Oh, great.
And I think that's it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just everyone's got the ability. Everyone's got the tools. Sometimes they just need to be shown the way. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like map reading. You kind of go off grid a little bit, and you just need to get brought back on. And once you're brought back on, boom, you're off. And that's it, really, I suppose.
That's brilliant, mate. Yeah, thanks for sharing that story. And I'm glad that guy and many others are doing really well from the support that you guys are giving. The vision of Reorg for the future, we've just started 2024. What plans have Reorg got for the rest of this year and going on? Where do you see Reorg going now over the next few months and years?
Yes, the immediate effort for us is programs, getting more men, more women on our Reorg programs in the jiu-jitsu and the CrossFit space. If there's people listening to this who will to be involved in a Reorg program, or they know someone who is in the community of military emergency services veterans, please send them our way. Fill out the application, really easy, and get involved. And if you're a gym, if you're a jiu-jitsu academy or CrossFit box, and you feel that your particular facility would like to be a part of our Reorg family, again, just get in touch and hit that application. That's the big one. And in order to do that, we need funds. Continuing to find ways to innovate and bring in more money to then get people on these programs. You'll see more collaborations from us with the brands that we're working with, and maybe some new exciting ones on the horizon. Maybe more events, maybe more challenges. But it's all about forging forward, using that passion, that drive to forge forward and just growing our Reorg family.
Brilliant, Sam. We've talked about your websites where people can find out more information about Reorg. And as I've said, we'll put it in the show notes. But if people want to know about you personally, follow what you're doing, where can people go?
Yes, I'm on Instagram, Sam_Sheriff. Yeah, if they want to see what I'm up to and the way that I'm kind of using my experience to help the Reorg community and just kind of forge forward with that, please head on over to there. And very much appreciate all your support.
Brilliant, Sam. Thank you very much for your time, mate. We do really, really appreciate it. I have to tell you, actually, that before we go, we're just now opening our HQ in Delray, in Florida, where Jack is. Awesome. And in our TRX studio now, Jack has put in the jiu-jitsu area as well.
Yes.
To start rolling. Yes. So I think the opening's going to be soon officially, but we're going to have a discussion and get you guys over. And I'm sure Jack will want to roll with you for sure.
Yeah,
but,
that would be amazing. Yeah. Let's get you a few secret sessions in beforehand. So get over there and, do you know what I mean? It'll be blown away by.
I'll definitely have to come down to London and see you guys soon. Sam, again, like, really appreciate your time and also really appreciate all that you do for charity and for the many people around the UK and the US, and just keep doing what you're doing, mate, because I think it's fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks for all your support, mate.
Brilliant, mate. See you soon.
As we wrap up this episode of the TRX Procast, I'm left inspired by the incredible journey as we just explored with Sam Sheriff, the founder of Reorg Charity. This transformative power of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to heal, empower, and build a community has been vividly illustrated through Sam's stories and insights. I hope you, the listeners, found this episode as impactful as I did. If you've been moved by the stories of triumph, the sense of community, and the profound connection between physical and mental well-being, Consider sharing this episode with those who might find strength and inspiration in Sam's journey. A huge thank you to Sam for sharing his time, experiences, and the vision behind Reorg Charity. If you want to support their mission or learn more about the incredible work they're doing, be sure to check out their website or social media channels. Remember, the power of storytelling lies in its ability to create connections and inspire change. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review, subscribe, and stay tuned for more empowering conversations on the TRX Procast. See you next time.